Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Amen. We're so glad that you joined us this evening. We know that God has a wonderful word for you. We're beginning a series this evening on the fear of success. Amen. And we're going to start getting into this word and hearing what God is saying to his people. I want you to tell someone to tune in, contact your best friend, someone that you know is in need of this message, and tell them that Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is on the air and he has a word for them. Amen. Before I go too far, let me go ahead and get into our announcement and into our Bible a prayer and all, and I'm going to digress and have Prophetess go ahead and come up and give us our announcement. Amen. And our Bible, verse and everything. Here, I'm going to give you this so that you can actually be heard. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord, amen.
There we go.
God bless you, everyone. It is good to once again be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I am excited about what Jesus is doing. Amen. Today. Amen. And he is on the throne. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited that he is on the throne and just cannot make it without him. Amen. But I just want to encourage someone on today. Amen. And I just want to quickly just read a Bible verse out of the book of Psalms. Amen. The book of Psalms. Let's go to chapter 63. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 63. Amen. I am actually reading this evening out of the New King James Version. Amen. And we're just going to start at the first verse, read down, and then go immediately following that, go into the announcements. Amen. The prayer. And then we'll be right back with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, for the word of God on this evening. Glory to God. Amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 63. Let's read out of the first verse. O God, you are my God. early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because of your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Whenever I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind me, behind you, your right hand holds me up. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The book of Psalms, chapter 63, reading from verses 1 through 8. Amen. And we just give glory to God. We have to recognize that he is the one that we need to praise all day. He is the one that we must seek after. He is the reason why we yet live. Amen. And most of all, it is his right hand that is holding us up. Amen. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how eloquent you may be in speech. I don't care how many doors that have opened unto you and everybody is calling your name and seeking you to be the next person, that next hot gig that they're looking for. Listen, you got to recognize and know that if it was not for God, if it was not for your relationship with the Father, amen, his hand upon your life, his mercy guiding you, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be. Always remember to give God praise. Always remember to put him first in everything that you do. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to lead you. Amen. I guarantee he will never lead you and steer you astray. He would always make sure that he gives glory unto the Father. Amen. And that is the book of Psalms, chapter 63. Just wanted to encourage someone out there on this evening. Just give them a word of grace. Amen. And while I'm doing that, people of God, I want to let you know the announcements are as follows. Amen. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast. Every Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And then Saturday and Sunday, Saturday at 9:30 and Sunday at 8:30, join us for our live worship experience, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Amen. Again, Saturday 9:30, Sunday at 8:30. And if you are in the Brevard County area, I am personally sending an invite out to you, asking that you would join us right here. We want to see you right here in our location, giving God all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Powerful preaching, teaching, praise and worship going forth. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen. And our location is located at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. That's 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Amen. Love to see you here. Amen. And just begin to join our family and let us all grow together. Why? Because growth is the intent. Amen. And finally, letting you know of our events that are coming up, I want to personally send an invite out to you. Amen. For my Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference that's being held right here. October 16th through the 19th, we have powerful men and women of God that are going to be coming to join us. The preaching, the teaching, amen, the praise and worship that is going to go forth. I am excited about what God is doing. On Thursday night, we have co-pastor Catherine Montgomery coming. That's going to be our guest speaker on Thursday night. On Friday night, we have associate pastor Carol Jones who's coming, amen, on Saturday, we have co-pastor, amen, Roshonda Bryant-Jones. And then yours truly, my husband, will be coming on Saturday morning, and I will be, and Sunday morning, and I will be concluding the matter Sunday evening at 4 p.m. So please tell a neighbor, tell a friend, come and join us. Amen. We want to give God all the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due him. Glory to God. Also in November, keep the calendars open, y'all. November, we have our singles conference coming up. More details will be coming about that real soon. So So you definitely want to keep yourself abreast for that. Amen. For all you single ladies and men, amen. This year's theme is successfully single. Amen. You don't want to miss it. Amen. And then with the conclusion into the following year, we definitely have Joshua Generation Young Warriors Conference coming forth. Amen. The young people are going to be on fire. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that fire. Amen. Glory to God. So that is Young Joshua Warriors Generation Conference coming up. Amen. That's going to be, I believe, January 29th to February the 1st, 2015. Amen. We're going to start the new year off with a bang. Glory to God. And finally, people of God, please go to our website, www.cckr.org. Learn more about us. Become a vision and prayer partner with this ministry. Help us to push and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. People need to know that the Lord lives. Amen. And not only does he live, but he yet cares about them and their concerns. Amen. So we can't do that without you. We need not only your prayers lifting us up, but your financial support as well. Amen. And you can do all that right on our website there as you find the donate button. And even for you who want us to touch and agree with you in prayer, learn more about us individually, or you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at any one of your engagements, go to the Contact Us tab located at the top of the page. Amen. There, follow the instructions. We will contact you at our earliest convenience. And even those of you who have been following us faithfully, we send out a much-needed hug and kiss and blessing over your life. Amen. But you can now see us live. Amen. Go to our media tab. Click on that, and you can see all of our shows, amen, that we have been doing live in the archives, and catch yourself up to now hearing the apostle come forth with the word of God and what it means to you, and expect your life to be changed, amen, by the word of the Lord being ministered through the man of God. Glory. Amen. Now, those are the announcements. We do have Facebook pages. You can find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, as well as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. We want to hear from you. Amen. We love each and every one of you. Amen. And let me just move next to the prayer. And immediately following prayer, the next voice you will hear will be my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Let us pray, people of God. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we glorify you. There is none like our God. There's none like our King. There is none like our Lord. You are our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our way maker. You are our provider, God. We thank you now for all that you have done in our lives. We thank you for every step that we have taken. God, we thank you for every test and every trial, even when we did not understand all what we were going through. But as we continue to trust you, we know once we reach the other side of it, we saw that you were in it with us all the way. And for that, we say thank you. Even now, Father, as we, your people, come before you, we just invite your presence and your anointing to rest upon the lives of your saints in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask now, God, that you would anoint Apostle as he begins to come forth with the word, as he begins to come forth with the message that you have given him, God. Begin to allow that word. Give him extra discernment, Father, that the word would just begin to open up even more and allow him to see even at a greater depth of what he's already seen, helping your people to recognize, amen, the pitfalls of the enemy. Even we who are sometimes our own enemy, God, we ask even now that as he begins to deliver this word, that you would bring conviction to our souls so that we may repent. And not only that, God, begin to turn our lifestyles towards you, turn our hearts towards you. Give us a clean heart, purify our minds, our hearts, and our souls. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, I even ask that you will wash us from all of our sins. Forgive us for all of our unrighteousness. God, make us holy in you. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give your name all praise. We thank you for the favor, all honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, people of God, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. So let me make way for my husband, and let us receive him right now, Apostle Christopher McQueen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get this worked out. Amen. Now, thank God for Prophetess and that the awesome dynamic prayer that she has prayed. I know that I feel the power of God here. I feel him moving, and I know that he's doing some things for us and with us. Amen. I know that at this time, we're working on technical things, and, you know, God knows what he's doing. Amen. And look at your neighbor and say, in due season, it will all work out fine. Amen. So with that being said, we know that God has been speaking to us, and he's been giving us some direction, if you will. Amen. Some things that we need to do, some things that we need to pull together, some things that we need to get together. Amen. And one of the things that he begins to speak to me about was his desire for us, amen, is not that we should fail, but that we should succeed, amen. And as I begin to speak to several sons and daughters, amen, I noticed that they were suffering with certain things, amen. That's a nice way to say it, proclivities, if you will, dealing with certain issues in their life, amen. And those things, those issues that they were dealing with simply came from a fear of success. Now, you might look at me and say, Apostle, what are you talking about, fear of success, a fear of success? Let me tell you, God knows what he says when he began to speak that to me. He began to show it to me, and then he began to validate it in me, amen, and show me exactly what it is that he was saying. And I tell you, the more that I looked, the more that I searched, the more that I paid attention to what the Spirit was saying, the clearer it became, amen. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit would take his time and show you some things, amen? And the reason why he takes his time and shows it to us is so that we can properly discern what it is, amen? I'm sorry, there's so many people in the body of Christ right now who lack simple discernment, amen? They lack it. They don't want it. I've never seen so many people who were trying their best not to see what was apparent in front of them, amen? And that is the problem that we have here. When we begin to look at success and we begin to look at how success works, amen, we have to be realistic, if you will, that God called us to succeed. All right. I've said it before and I'll say it again. God never gives you an assignment, amen, that you can fail, amen. He gives you assignments that you are going to succeed at, amen? But what the enemy does is he tries to get us to a place where we're afraid of that success. Now, before I even get into the scripture, and we're going back to 1 Samuel, because we're going to see this right here that I'm speaking about with King Saul, amen, as we get into it. You'll see that there are some things that have happened in your life that you have taken to heart, and where people will say, you can't make it, you can't succeed, you can't get past this. The first thing the enemy does is he tries to ingrain that in you. You got to understand that the devil is afraid that you come to a knowledge of who God called you to really be, because he knows that as soon as you know who you are, amen, then he's in trouble. Every assignment that he set up and every obstacle that he's placed in your way and every lie that he's told and everything that he's tried to position himself to do will have to fall and shut down when the children of God recognize and realize that God called them. Amen? So the enemy don't want you to understand anything that comes, you know, from God. He wants to replace that God-given assignment with
something else. And if you can just hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to me, he's saying my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. But the knowledge that they're lacking is the knowledge of them seceding. Regardless, God has already chose you before the foundations of the world to be successful in whatever it is that he's giving you to do. In other words, you can't lose if you simply follow the rules. Amen? Let me say that again. You can't lose, if you simply follow the rules. And what are the rules? The rules are God has given us and already called us into divine alignment with a plan. The steps of a good man, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Amen? And since the steps are ordered by God, they're ordered in such a way where you can't fail walking the path that he's designed and set before you. Amen? God doesn't lead you into pitfalls and into shortcomings and into mistakes. Amen? It is our flesh that gets us over into those areas because we refuse to listen to God. You know what I'm saying? He speaks to us, and we want to barter with him. We want to tell him what it is in and how it ain't that, and I don't know why you see it. Listen, after all is said and done, after you have made every excuse for every mistake that you made, walking after your own will and your own design and your own way, God still has that plan that you were created to fulfill. Amen? Huh? So let's look here, because I want you to see this, amen. We're going to 1 Samuel. Somebody say, he's in love with 1 Samuel. Well, for this season that we're in, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us here, amen, and we need to hear what is being said, amen. First of all, let's go to that 13th chapter, amen. Now, I'm going to set this up for you before we really get into it. Amen. The problem here or the situation here is that Saul has reigned for about a year now. Amen. And while he's reigning, he was chosen. You have to go back to the 9th chapter. Amen. And let's just look at the wording there. I just want you to see it. I'm going to read it into your hearing. 1 Samuel 9. Amen. And it simply says 9 and 2, amen. And he had a choice and a handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any other people, amen. So this is Kish's son, amen. And the thing is that he wasn't an ugly person. You would think that success is easy for somebody who's easy on the eyes. Amen? But I found that some of the hurt people, some of the people who are more afraid of success than anyone else, is somebody who's been told that they're cute all their life. They're afraid of the time when somebody won't see them as what they perceive themselves. Amen? Mama told you were cute. Daddy told you were cute. All your friends and everybody, oh, that's my baby and everything. And then you have those people who come around and say, ugh. Those people right there are the people who begin to shake your house of cards, if you will. Huh? They begin to shatter that image that's been placed in you from those around you. Now, I found that there were some people that I run into that had it together. They had the right bone structure, the right skin color, the right hair. They had the right eyes. They had everything. When you looked at them, it was like, oh, my goodness. If I could pick a body, that would be it. Amen. And here they are, insecure. I ain't nothing. I'm just ugly. My eyes, I don't know. What is it about you that causes you to be insecure? Amen. And which brings me to a point already. Amen. Fear of success. Amen, will lead to failure to succeed. Failure to succeed is rooted in insecurities of your past. Amen? So you know, insecurities are put inside of people by the enemy in order to keep people at a mediocre place. Amen. Don't want you to see yourself for who you are. They don't want you to see your attributes for what they really are. Amen. So what they do is they see you in as a fearfully and wonderfully made being that God made, and they begin to talk to you about you not having, you not being. I remember we were up in Michigan, amen, and prophetess was walking in her office, could clearly see. And when I tell you, I don't talk about everybody, amen, because I have to answer to God for every lie, amen. But my wife can see, amen. And when I say that, she would speak a word that was accurate. I mean, it went down the pike. She clearly saw, amen, what God said and what the Holy Spirit showed her. And what people would do who we were with, they would turn around and try to take that word and pull it apart as if it wasn't anything. And as she goes back and she's trying to figure out, Lord, did I miss you? I know what you showed me. They would turn around and get in front of the people. Yay, the Lord spoke to me and showed me and bring the same word out. And the people would celebrate them, huh? For the words that they told her was not the word of God. Obviously, it was the word. Now, the thing is, she could see, they couldn't see, and they needed somebody who could see so that they could continue to perpetrate an office that they were not qualified to walk in. Amen. As we grew through it, amen, we began to understand what was going on and see it, and it was a maturing point. Amen. So you have to understand that when the enemy is trying to destroy you, he tries to get you at your foundational moments. Amen. While you're trying to come into an understanding of who you are, and there is where he puts in the fear of success. How does that work? Well, you know, if you're a prophet, you should always be seeing. Well, I don't always see. I'm not always seeing something. When the Lord speaks to me, I hear, no, you ain't really a prophet then. Oh. So now you go on, you're trying to make up words, huh? So you can be the prophet that you know you really are. When the reality is, the prophet don't see all the time. They see when the Holy Spirit opens up their eyes, huh, so that they can see. You see that? So you have to understand what's really going on here. The enemy of your soul will get you tied up in insecurity. Now let's look at Saul here, because I want you to see this. Amen. The Saul now has been here. He's ruled for a year. Amen. Here and now he begins to deal with some things, and you'll see. Look at this. Let's just read this second verse. Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. So now he has 3,000 people around him, huh? And with 3,000 people around him, he feels by himself, amen? Look what is going on. And I wish I had time to go through all of this, amen? But the thing is that he begins to look, amen, and see what's going on. Jonathan, the third chapter, the third verse here, and Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistine that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, "Let every Hebrew hear." Now all Israel heard it and said that Saul had attacked the garrison. So now here's Jonathan, his son, doing great exploits. Saul's getting the credit for it. But Saul himself knew he didn't attack nobody. Notice, Saul had the 2 with him, 2,000, and Jonathan had the 1. You see that? Huh? So what happened is, they begin to deal with some things, huh? And they're waiting now. Let's see here. 8th verse. They were in danger because of that attack. Amen. 8th verse. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. And let me say something here. When God places in your life a man or woman of God who's going to look out for your soul, they have charge over your soul, don't move past the man or woman of God. Amen. Sometimes the lesson that you're learning is patience. You're learning to wait. Amen. I wish somebody would just say, you got to learn how to wait. You got to learn how to wait. Every once in a while, the enemy of your soul will try to get you to become anxious. Anxiety means you make quick decisions that have long-term devastation. Huh? So here we see the same thing is happening here. He was supposed to wait 7 days. Huh? But look at this. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So now all these people are sitting there waiting on Saul. You are king. Tell us what to do. Saul says, hold on. I got to wait for the man of God. We have to get instruction because I'm the king chosen from God. So I have to wait. And he's not willing to wait because the people start moving from him. And I told you before, the thing that keeps people in traps and in places where there's shortcomings is that they're waiting on people, to amen them. Here Saul sees that the people are leaving. And as we read down through the text, we see that he's left with about 600, from 3,000 to about 600 folk. He can't wait on God. And if you go back in the history, if he had just looked at the history in Judges, we would see with Gideon, he didn't need that many. Amen. God knows how to deliver his people, regardless if you have the mind, the heart, or the will to wait on him. It does not diminish his capacity to save, heal, and deliver. Amen. Let's look at this. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people scattered from him. So Saul said, bring me a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me. And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, listen to this, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. Now, it's an interesting, and this isn't the first time. If you've been listening, when we go into the 15th chapter, you'll see that there's some similarities. Here he is doing crazy because that's where he is, trying to please the people and get people to like him. And when the man of God comes, he go out to greet him like, hey, guess what? I was waiting on you. But he didn't get a chance this time to do that. As soon as Samuel saw him, Samuel said, what is this you have done? Now, instead of him just saying, my anxieties, my insecurities got in the way. Yeah. Let's read what he says here. Now, it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering that Samuel came. And Samuel went out, Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. 11th verse, and Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the day appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Listen to that. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not commanded, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Then Samuel rose and went to Gilgal from Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people present with them, about 600 men. Now, let me just break right here, because what we see here is we see someone who is insecure. You're positioned for greatness. He's the king. He don't have to become greater than anybody else in Israel. You got the job already, amen? It is yours. You have made it, amen? But now, within yourself, you're not secure, huh, in the one who placed you in that job. That is the Holy Spirit. God put you there, amen? And what you've done now is you begin to look at the people. You can't do what God said do because you're trying to get the people to like your activity. You want people to like your demeanor. You want people to like the words coming out of your mouth. Listen, brothers and sisters, maybe you're not all that articulate. Maybe you're not all that much to look at, huh? But maybe when you step forward and you begin to call on the name of the Lord, the atmosphere shifts. Listen, stop trying to go get plastic surgeries and doing all kind of crazy other stuff so people can see you and like you. You got to learn how to be satisfied with yourself before you can satisfy anybody else. Insecurities will cause you to do crazy thing. We talk about the late Michael Jackson and the fact that he wasn't satisfied with who he was. This man is writing hit after hit. He's doing all that he can do, but he's turning around, changing his skin color, changing his nose, changing his chin, changing this, changing that. He's not happy because the inward side of him can't look at what he's done to succeed. Insecurities and anxieties will lead you into crazy. Now let's bring this back into the household of faith today. Some of you are running after all these kind of crazy theologies and everything. You're trying to get grace enough so you can live your life and still make it into heaven. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you're going to live a life of sin, expect to bust hell wide open. And yes, let's talk about that right there, because nowadays people don't want to preach about hell anymore. Oh, no, we want to be politically correct and celebrate diversity and everything else. Oh, we just be nice, nice. Sin, what's sin? It's just, well, it's something, well, you don't prefer that, but maybe it's not that bad to somebody else. Stop making excuses for bad behavior. Sin is sin. Sin has always been sin. Huh? The enemy of your soul will have you make everything common. Now, why are we talking about this, and how does that all relate to success? Let me read to you what success is. The definition of success is a couple of things here. Amen. Let's see this. First of all, success is the fact of getting or achieving wealth, respect, or fame. Saul knew that if he was going to be successful, he already had the wealth. He had fame, but he didn't have respect. Okay. Where did he miss respect? Respect shows respect, to receive respect. And when he got the position, he got the position from Samuel at God's choosing. He was given the protocol for his office. Amen? And when he got the protocol for his office, then the one who actually brought him in, he was supposed to lean heavily on for guidance. Amen? He was to be mentored into it. You understand? See, the thing is, people hear that you're a man, a woman of God, and you're ready to stand up and run and tell everybody, look who I am, as if you are really somebody. But you're really not somebody. What you are chosen. And if you are not mentored, trained, and developed, you'll make a mockery of your calling. Amen, somebody. Huh? God's trying to get us to see that there is a process to everything. You're called and you're developed, and then you're released to do what you were called. You aren't called and released. You're called and developed. Huh? The disciples were called. They had to go through processing before anything happened. Before Jesus left, after that 3.5 years, they had to go through seeing successes of failures. But each time that they did it, they learned what they should have done, and they were instructed, how long will I be with you, huh? So that they could learn how to get what they need to get. In other words, if you're going to have respect, you need to respect the authority that was given to you. Saul couldn't respect the authority of Samuel. Somebody said, I don't know if that's great or if that's good. Apostle, look what he says. He said, when I saw the people were leaving and that you didn't come. What he said is, I don't care what was going on. I felt that, you know, if I'm going to die, I need to offer something. So I felt compelled. You see that? And that's what happened. Why did you do that? Because I felt like it. There's no respect. Huh? There's no fear of retaliation because of who you think you really are. And when you have that on the inside of you, brother, sister, you headed for a downfall. Huh? We see what happened here. Look what Samuel said to him. He said, you have done foolishly. God would have set your kingdom forever, but now he's looking for another after his own heart. What after his own heart? You don't respect God. God's not going to respect you. The fear of success is that if you rise to a certain level, you have to maintain that level. So what people do is instead of rising to the level, they make excuses for the bad mistakes that they made. And then they try to make it seem like I did it because I was compelled to follow God. I felt that I should have. Wait a minute, hold on. You didn't feel that you should have. Your flesh was fighting your success. When a man and a woman of God come back, they begin to talk to you about what you have done and how God is this. He's upset about it. You didn't come here and get honor from him. You came here to get honor for yourself. And as we go on through here, we see that every time that Saul did something, he was looking for the people to tell him how great and wonderful he is. Brothers and sisters, you got to stop doing that yourself. Huh? God ain't trying to get attaboys from you or to you so people can pat you on the back. He's trying to get you to do what he said so he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Listen, you have to understand something. God did, I said it before and I keep saying it, God did not design for you to fail. The assignment he gave you will be easy if you simply follow his lead. You got to be led by the Spirit. But you can't be led by the Spirit when your flesh is trying to tell you how God ain't spoke to you yet. And if it just seemed right to me, our bank account looked like this. And if I get those people over here, then I'll be able to do this. Those people come in here with those means that you're talking about and will take the church in a different direction because you don't have the wherewithal to hear from God to know that these are the same people who were sent on assignment to tear up the church. They leave it. Wow. See, I don't want everybody over here, amen. I want quality people. I don't want quantity people, amen. Because cancer comes as not a positive growth; it comes as a negative growth, amen. Huh? It takes chemotherapy and other means to destroy something like that. We don't need to set off a neutron bomb or something up here in Christ the King to get rid of what shouldn't be here. The way to get rid of it is not to let it come here in the first place. Amen. Amen. See, so while we're sitting back, I'm not trying to grow beyond what God has given us because I know God would give us the Navy SEALs of the kingdom of God. If we're going to have 3 or 4, then we're going to be the baddest three or four you could ever lay your eyes on. If he gives us 50, we'll be the baddest 50 that you could ever lay your eyes on. If he gives us 500, we'll be the baddest 500. I don't need 35,000 to think I'm somebody. I just need the right people for the assignment. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we just got to get the right people for the assignment. Saul here is acting a fool. And I will keep on reading because I want you to know something. There are some things that you have to see. The fact of getting wealth, fact of getting or achieving wealth is most people's definition of success. But there's a lot of wealthy people taking their lives because money can't buy you everything. Money answers some things. Money makes some things easier, but money is not the answer to all things. Amen? Huh? It would be that if you could pay your way, then people would already be living forever. Hmm? There would not be anyone in the hospital because they would pay their way out of it. Money was simply just, oh, you got sick, here's the payment. Oh, your payment was good. Your sickness is gone. Never suffer again. Money took care of it. No, people with money can't get healed. Amen? Huh? I still remember that some of the greatest miracles that I've seen in healing and deliverance came from people who didn't have no money. Success in the kingdom comes with the work. What did God do? What proves that you are the child of God that you want everybody to think you are? Well, let's look at what happened. Sister has a child that's sick and she can't afford to go to the hospital, and she begins to cry out to God for her baby, and God begins to move on that child, and the fever breaks and the child gets up and starts running around within a few minutes. And she said, I know God touched him because my baby was over there and I know what happened. I've seen this before. This is the point where if something don't happen, I will lose my child. So that child was sitting there playing after having a fever that almost went up to 103 and 104. You know, that child sitting down playing and asking for something to eat after the prayer of faith has gone forth and the child has had hands laid on them. You know, they didn't have money to go to the hospital, but they had a faith in prayer. They had faith in God, and God met them at the point of their need. Brothers and sisters, some of you are doubting whether or not Jesus is real and whether or not God is real, and you think it's a comical thing that, to make fun of it and say that all of this is this, that, and other. But for those of us who have seen him work, this is real. I remember Sister Kendra and her son when we were up in Ohio. He had, two of his ears? He had ear infections to the point where he couldn't stand up. The room was spinning, like vertical, really bad, and terrible headaches with it. But they came to church, and she said, Pastor, I just want you to pray for my son, Tony. I laid hands on him, put my fingers in his ear, and spoke the word of faith, and we touched and agreed, and I said, God has already done it. I feel that it's done. We went on and talked. I went back in my office and came inside the sanctuary to take care of some stuff. Tony was downstairs in the basement playing with the other kids, ran outside, and they were all playing tag in the parking lot. The little boy who had vertigo and couldn't hardly stand up, head pounding from the infection. The infection and everything broke now. See, I don't have I heard him do it for somebody else. I wish you'd do it for me. Brother, sister, where is your faith? You don't see the work of God because you don't have faith in the working of God. Amen? Huh? My success is if I prayed that prayer, amen, and God did it, then the next time there's a sickness, a need, then I should be able to pray again. But when you fear success, you'll pray the prayer and take the aspirin. You pray the prayer and go to the doctor. Not so he can tell you ain't there, but so you can see what's there. Because your faith has not been developed to the point where you see past the ailment. You see past the signs of the illness. You understand? You got to see yourself even while your head is hurting that I'm healed. You got to see yourself even while the lump is still there, huh? You can say I'm healed, huh? God will heal you. God will deliver you. We've seen cancers go into remission, huh? Not once, not twice, many times. Lord gave a prophetess instructions, amen, and told her to consecrate a handkerchief, amen. And the lady that she was praying with, she said they got to go into surgery. What kind of surgery was that there? Four-stage cancer where?
Of the breast.
In the breast. Here she is. She's going to surgery now. Lord told her to pray on it and anoint it and give it to her. Tell her to lay it on it. She gave it to her that evening. Amen. She went to the hospital for early morning surgery. And of course, before they do the surgery, they go to check again. Well, they went and checked and couldn't find nothing. Looked at the old x-rays, came back and looked, checked the new x-rays, kept checking and calling in specialists and teams of doctors to see if it moved or if it's hiding and everything else. After all was said and done, the lady went home with nothing wrong. No cuts, no incision, no chemotherapy, nothing, because the power of God still works. Now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because when God begins to use you, it's so that you can go to the next level. What happens is the enemy starts talking you out of the miracle. Well, you know, everybody else prayed. God gave instruction. And you followed the instruction. The miracle happened. Now God is taking you to another level. You see it? And when you get to that next level, you need to decree and declare the goodness, the glory of God. And the principles of God, you need to live out and walk them out before the people. Amen? Don't let nobody tell you, huh, that God can't move, God can't work. See, as we get into this fear of success, this achieving wealth, respect, and fame is one part that we look at. But I want to take you to another definition here right quick. It says, the correct or desired result of an attempt. Now, let's let that settle just a little bit. Like my wife said, let that marinate some. The problem that we have here is that the enemy has fooled you out of your attempt. So your faith can never be tried. So that it can't grow, so that you'll never give God glory for what he's done. I need to move into things to God. I know I need to do it. I know I need to do it. All of that right there that you're doing, all of that right there is lack of faith. Abraham, let's go on over there and look at it right quick. Genesis 12. Okay? Because you have to understand, every time that God speaks to you, it's not going to appeal to you being comfortable in the move. The transitions are seldom comfortable. Huh? They are abrupt. They are uncomfortable. But when you settle in the new place and position, you find that you're more comfortable. Amen? Yeah. Anybody who's ever moved a house know that you're going from point A to point B. Sometimes it ain't the best thing to do. You're thinking about all this that you got to pack up in those little boxes and everything. You took all the big stuff out the house, talking about, oh, I only got a couch and that little thing right there. Oh, this ain't much. And when you move the couch and all the rest of that, you find out you got four more days of little packing.
Yeah.
Jesus. Amen. See, But when you get into the new place and you begin to put things where they're supposed to be and you begin to settle in, you found out the cramped little place that you've been making do with, huh? The place that you've been making excuse for why you're still there. When you get to that next place, you find out you got room. Now you can go shopping because you got room to buy another couch. You ain't living on a love seat talking about this as much as can fit in here. You're looking for L or section or something else. You want that lazy boy chair, you know, the wide bottom one that you can sit in, that'll sit back and you can eat and put your feet up in it really good. You want all of that and you got room for it. But if you don't move from that little square box that you in, you can't fit none of the new stuff in there. Look what God said to Abraham. He said, get out of your country, 12:1, from your family, from your father's house to a land that I will show you. He didn't tell him you're going to Canaan. He just told him, move and I'll show you as you go. Amen. Transition is not always all knowing, but it is movement. Amen. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Amen. Every transition has a purpose to it. Amen. Number three, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In other words, I've got your back in this. And if people help you, I'm going to help them. If people try to stand in your way, don't worry about it. Keep stepping. I'm going to make sure that they get theirs in due season. God knows how to bless his people and keep us. But we have to learn how to be successful. Correct or desired result of an attempt. Out of the words of your mouth, the enemy has gotten you to speak your failure.
Yes, he has.
Failure of success. And when you're pressed to it, you have a fear of succeeding. I'm not done. We're just going to stop here because our time, amen, where it is. But brothers and sisters, as we're going through this, I want you to take some time and really do some self-evaluation and see what God is saying to you. God is trying to get us to see. Yes, he's trying to get us to see that this is the time and the season for us to be blessed. He's trying to take us to another level, but we can't go there while we're holding on to past failures. That was the enemy's success. Now God has greater successes for him in your future. Amen? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we honor you and we bless your name. Lord, we thank you because you called us to be successful. Help us now, Lord, to walk worthy of your calling, worthy of your election of us. Lord, we know that you have chosen us for this, and we can't tell if we follow your directives here. Now, Lord, I pray for those who are not saved that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where they can be developed and matured and go on to do the work that you called them to do. Now, I pray for those who are sick, those who need a miracle, those who need deliverance, those who need healing in their body. Lord, let the healing virtue flow right now in the name of Jesus. Let your power, Lord, manifest, Lord, that your people will see that you care for them and that you still work for them. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, release your ministering angels to do the work so that men and women will see your glory manifested in the earth and will give you praise, glory, and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Don't forget the announcement. Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference is coming up. Amen. October 16th through the 19th. You don't want to miss this. This is going to be one of those times when you're going to bring your towel because a napkin won't. Amen. We're going to worship him and do all we can to give God glory. Join us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere with none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, along with my wife, Prophetess Crystal McQueen, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We'll see you on Thursday night.